The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, an orange weather warning remains in effect for most of the country this morning for low temperatures. Impacts are being felt most across the southeast and the Midlands, with hazardous commuting conditions for many people. We're going to hear from Irish Water, and also we'll be talking about driving with Ger Herbert. But first of all, Barry Kenny from Éireannróid Éireann is on the line. Barry, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
How is the network this morning?
Well, network is operating very well. All of our network is fully operational. We've had no cancellations whatsoever this morning, and that's testament to our infrastructure teams who've been out ensuring that that's the case. We have some delays on Kerry services, just some issues there whereby effectively a number of points aren't in operation just because of the snow and ice conditions. The points, obviously, direct trains from one track to another, and that is just restricting operations a little bit, so it's causing some minor delays. But apart from that, we have no weather effects this morning, thankfully.
Now, have you had much disruption over the last few days? And if so, what generally causes it?
We haven't had huge amounts. We did, obviously, in terms of the snowfall, have some disruption. And I suppose the biggest disruption for us was for some of our regional routes around Limerick, was physically getting people in to operate the services. So if you had like the Limerick to Ballybrophy via Nina line, where we've got a lot of manually operated level crossings, and they're up quite remote rural roads in many cases, just the volume of snow that we had was a big impact. So that was the one route that closed for a period of time on the first heavy day of snow. So that would be an issue. The other one for us is obviously as they snow and ice and how it will affect the operation of points in particular. We do a lot of measures, preventative measures there. We have points heaters around the network to counteract that as well. We will also literally swing the points in non-operational hours, like physically keep them moving to avoid issues of snow and ice blockages. Sometimes when you've got a degree of snow, that's unavoidable. And as I say, we have taken a number of them just out of operation just to simplify our operations and make sure that we can keep trains moving. So as I say, there's been a great effort around the network, and thankfully the vast majority of services have been unaffected.
Now, what about safety in stations, people on platforms, icy platforms? I mean, how much can you do there? Because you have quite an extensive network.
We do. We have 146 stations. Obviously, not all of them are affected by snow and ice, but we've got dozens that are. We have our own salt supplies and platforms are salted, but people should be careful when they are coming to the station. We'd always ask people to walk and not run on platforms, and ever more so than in conditions like this as well. And that is, you know, right in the area around the station in car parks as well. And of course, critically, people should just allow additional time to reach the station, particularly if they are in areas that are affected by snow and ice and with the road conditions that are affecting people.
But the message is, by and large, if you've booked a train ticket for today, it will run, and it will run more or less on time.
It will. And as I say, look, minor delays, obviously, as the weather develops, there may be minor delays. But as I say, we're keeping everything moving, and we will get people where they need to go.
Great stuff, Barry. Barry Kenny, Communications Manager with Éireannróid Éireann. Thank you very much. Now, in the studio with me is Stephen Burke, Regional Operations Manager with Uisce Éireann. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Pat.
Now, tell me, how many people are without water?
This morning, Pat, we have 4,500 people without water. That compares to 40,000 people earlier this week. And the reason people have no water is a combination of issues. The snow has resulted in a lot of power outages, but to water treatment plants. Of the 10 plants that had no power earlier this week, that is now down to one plant in West Limerick, Ballyagrin. And we're told that the power should be recovering there today. So the majority of people currently with no water should hopefully over the course of today see the water coming back to their house.
Is it normal that the modern treatment plant would have its own backup power generation?
Yeah, most treatment plants would now have backup power generation. In some cases, the problems have been that we might have maybe 24 hours of fuel to power the backup generator, and we haven't been able to get deliveries of fuel to site to replenish the storage there. Many of our treatment plants would have dual and triple supplies of power from the ESB as well. So thankfully we're coming out the other side right now in terms of the backup power.
Okay, so you've dropped to 25% of the peak. 40,000. Now it's down to 10,000, which is
down to 4,500 this morning.
Down to 4,500 this morning. So that's pretty good going.
It's good, but there are another 24,000 currently at risk. We've seen an increase in burst frequency in burst water mains in certain parts of the country. As a result of that, and as a result of the treatment plants not producing water, a lot of our reservoirs are currently quite low. So there are about 24,000 people currently at risk. But we are hoping that the reservoir levels will recover over the course of today. And
so it's not a shortage of rain.
No. Raw water availability isn't the current problem. But we are very conscious that the freezing conditions are going to continue. In certain parts of the country, we've seen a very obvious increase in burst water mains. And that's because the ground has a lot of water in it. When the ground freezes, the water expands. That causes the pipes to burst. And quite often we see a further increase in burst pipes as the thaw occurs, as the ground contracts again.
Why would that be? As the thaw occurs, you'd imagine that the ice in the pipes then diminishes in size, and therefore...
It's the ice in the ground itself around the pipes that generally causes the pipes to burst. So if you think when the ground freezes, the water expands, so the ground expands.
So it crushes the pipe a bit.
It moves the pipe, yeah. It's that movement that generally bursts the water mains, yeah.
Now, with the advent of PVC pipework, has that made things a lot easier?
Absolutely. The modern pipework that we've been installing, the PVC, well, it's more PE, polyethylene pipe, over the last 10 to 20 years is very flexible. It would be much more resistant to freeze-thaw events, but we still have a huge rigid cast iron network across the country, which would be less flexible, and typically some of it is over 100 years old, would have been put installed in quite shallow depths. So it's more prone to exposure to freezing ground conditions.
I mean, at any time of the year, when you go down a couple of feet, the ground temperature remains pretty constant, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. So it's really the upper layers, the first 2 to 3 feet of ground is where we would see the most bursts occurring in the pipe network.
Now, what about domestically and the problem with leakage? I mean, there's a construction site near me where there's been a leak since before Christmas, and you fear that the water will just pile onto the road and therefore generate black ice.
Absolutely. We are asking for the support of everybody to report in leaks as quickly as they possibly can. We have crews working around the clock at the moment, repairing leaks both on footpaths and roads. We also have a first fix free scheme for the repair of private side leaks. And we would that incident you mentioned, where the risk of water on footpaths is very real. So anywhere somebody comes across a potential leak on the public side, please let us know, and we will get our crews out to repair that as quickly as we possibly can.
The other innovation from Mishka Aaron is the app. So people will be told if there's going to be a water outage.
Absolutely.
A predictable water outage. I mean, if you've got a burst pipe, it might be a while before that appears on the app.
Yeah, we've seen a huge increase in bursts in, so for example, South Dublin, Talla, Knockline, Templeogue would be one example. We've had similar occurrences in Blarney and Cork. And when we have to go out and repair these pipes, we have to switch the pipe off. That results in us turning the water off to a number of customers. We always try to keep that to a minimum. But when we know that the water is being turned off to an area, if people have signed up to our text alert system, which is very easy, you just go onto our website and put in your air code and your phone number. And every time we need to turn the water off to an area, you will receive an automatic text message letting you know that the water is about to go off.
Now, one of the things that people used to do back in the day was when the frost was coming and the snow, they would keep the water flowing in their house. Are they still doing that?
We do suspect that there is quite a lot of that occurring across the country. It's not very helpful to us. If everyone did that, that would have a huge negative impact on our reservoir storage levels. There is a huge amount that people can do to support themselves, their neighbours and everybody in the country. If they can try to conserve water by maybe taking shorter showers, you know, make sure the dishwasher is full when you turn it on. Don't leave taps running. Be vigilant for leaks, both private and public. You know, if there are vacant properties or, you know, farmland pipes, turn them off. You know, that water doesn't need to be on during the winter. Little things like that can make a huge difference.
Yeah. Another thing that people perhaps should observe, if you go outside and cross the road or to the end of your garden and have a look at your own roof, and if the frost is still there, it means the insulation is pretty good because the heat from inside the house is not melting the ice on the roof. And therefore, your tank is probably pretty okay.
Absolutely, yeah. That's a very insightful view. Not only will you be protecting the pipes in your attic by insulating your attic, but you will also be saving your energy bill. Your heating bill won't be as high if your house is adequately insulated. So it has multiple benefits.
All right. So the message anyway for the 4,000 people who are without water at the moment, you're working on it.
Yeah, absolutely. We're working flat out trying to get the water back to everybody. We are also asking for the support of everyone to be vigilant for leaks. And we are concerned that there is going to be an increase in burst pipes over the coming days and weeks.
Simply because of the changing ground temperatures.
Absolutely, yeah. We've had similar events over the years where, you know, these types of freezing temperatures do result in an increase in burst pipes. So,
Right. Stephen, thank you very much for dropping in. Stephen Burke is Regional Operations Manager with Ishka Éireann. Now, on the line is Ger Herbert, Motoring Editor with the Sunday Independent. Ger, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you want to give us some advice on driving techniques in this cold snap, because not everything that is slippy is that easily visible.
Yeah, particularly this morning, Pat, the issue seems to be freezing fog. Now, the big problem with freezing fog is it contributes to the formation of black ice. And obviously, black ice is very hard to spot and it's highly dangerous for driving. So you almost need to assume that the roads are worse than they actually look. It also increases the risk of slippery spots on roads, bridges, bends, and reduces visibility. So this morning, make sure you have your front fog lights and your rear fog lights on. Slow down and just maintain a really, really big distance between you and the car in front, because then at least you can read the road. But slowing down is the big thing, really, Pat, because, you know, people get into difficulties because they're simply driving too fast for the road conditions. So just slow down and maintain a very big distance. That's my key advice to anybody on the road this morning.
Now, cars themselves are more advanced than they used to be with anti-lock brakes, but you can't necessarily depend on the anti-lock brakes in every dramatic situation.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think the key thing is if you do find yourself in difficulty and you start to skid, the advice is always to turn into the skid. So if you're skidding to the left, turn your steering wheel to the left or vice versa. But that advice normally goes out the window because people panic. So the important thing is don't panic. Take your feet off all of the pedals. And if you remember nothing else, just as I said, don't panic, but turn the wheel in the direction you want to be travelling in.
Now, the problem is when you think about that, Ger, you're sliding towards the ditch. And the advice is to point your steering wheel towards the ditch. And that's counterintuitive.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's why that advice goes out the window. But that is, if you can keep that in mind, turn into the skid. But as I said, if you don't, I mean, the big thing is prevention more than anything, Pat, is don't get yourself into a skid. Most serious skids result from simply driving too fast for the road conditions, as I said. So try and use main roads. They're more likely to be gritted. Don't, if you can stay away from the back roads, be very careful in coming out of housing estates again or sheltered areas. But just slow down, Pat. That's the big thing.
And then, of course, your screen washer, many people just have plain water in it, and that's likely to freeze overnight in the car. So you should have some solvent in that screen wash that will lower the freezing point so that you can still use it.
Yeah, and have spare screen wash as well. Make sure your mobile is fully charged when you're on the road. And also just before you set off, make sure you can see clearly out from all of your windows that your lights are working. And then I suppose the whole idea of maintenance in winter comes into play here, Pat. Like, you should be pre-prepared before the snow arrives for all of these things. And make sure that your tread depth on your tyres, I mean, the minimum is 1.6, but really for winter, you should be looking at 3 millimetres minimum. So they're the kind of things. But visibility is a big thing before you set off, so just ensure that you can see clearly out of all of your windows and mirrors.
Now, time was when a cold snap came that the internal combustion engine was so fraught with difficulties, with, you know, frozen points and various things that would stop the car from starting. With electronic ignitions for the last ages, that's not a problem. But the better car for these kind of conditions is, as long as it's charged, is the electric car, because there's no water in there. There's nothing to stop the engine from functioning as normal.
Yeah, the other thing with those is the preconditioning aspect. So you can actually warm up your car while it's plugged in, and this heats the cabin and everything without actually using the power on your battery. I saw a lot of tweets about people laughing about people with EVs, and yet, as you point out, they're probably the ones that are most successful on the road at the moment. The only thing I would say about EVs you need to be careful of is that extra weight. If you do get into a skid, they can be quite difficult to control because they're that bit heavier. But again, slowing down is the key thing. But yeah, I mean, anybody with an EV is probably fine, provided it's not rear-wheel drive. They're not the most ideal cars to be driving in the ice at the moment.
Now, the other thing is, when you're slowing down in an EV, you may have regeneration going into your battery. And I'm not sure how many models, when you're using braking for regenerating power, which slows you down, do they indicate to the people behind? Do the brake lights come on if you just take your foot off the pedal? And you then dramatically slow down.
Not always, Pat. So it depends on the car. Now, a lot of them do actually, they are linked to the back, but it would be a good idea to just give some indication. But again, that the big thing there is the distance between you. If everybody's maintaining a decent distance, you can read the road ahead and you can tell when a car is slowing down and you're not relying on brake lights to give you that indication. But yeah, that is something to bear in mind, is just to give some sort of indication to the person behind you that you're slowing down.
Now, finally, Ger, there are some changes afoot for Dublin motorists. There are going to be some more changes to the road network, the way you can get through Dublin city centre.
Yeah, so there's three kind of major changes coming in the next few months. The first is Pier Street and Westland Road. There's going to be a left turn ban there, so private traffic will not be able to turn left. And this change is likely to come in from after April. Now, at the same time, there's going to be changes to at the same time as the traffic flow changes in Pier Street, there's also going to be changes on Tara Street, prioritising public transport. So what's going to happen there is the number of lanes are going to be reduced and the space for cyclists and pedestrians are going to be increased. And finally, there's going to be a traffic-free zone in Parliament Street after 11 o'clock in the morning. That's coming in later in the year. Now, there's a few things that have to happen before that will...
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.